Hey, Jess, did you see this one on Instagram? It says, Angela Sue 1223 left us a review, and she says, I have listened to every minute of our podcast.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of minutes.
Yeah, we're closing in on like 50 hours.
Oh, my gosh. We have a lot of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of hot air. And she says, I've actually listened to several episodes multiple times. Love the real, honest, down-to-earth thoughts, emotions, and information.
That's really nice. Thanks.
That was nice. Thanks, Angela Sue.
Yeah.
If you have something nice to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, keep your mouth shut. Okay. But if you do have something nice to say, we'd love to have your review on iTunes.
Yeah, your iTunes, and hit those stars for us, please. And that way more people on iTunes can find our podcast. You're just doing a service to society.
It's a public service.
Yeah. Yeah, we really appreciate it. Speaking of a service,
ooh,
this episode, really, 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 I think I'm going to try it. I think it inspired me to try it. Now, we had Brooke Randolph on back episode 33, and she was talking to us about EMDR, and that was a therapy that I was just starting, and I wanted to share with people because I hadn't heard of it. It had benefited me. And continues to benefit me, actually. And Brooke shared that there is another science similar to EMDR called brain spotting. Little different approach, a different patient-doctor roles.
Like interaction?
Yeah, interaction and roles and expectations and accountability in the situation also. So I thought, man, there's a lot of people that are going to benefit from this just as much as they would benefit, if not more, from EMDR. And maybe next season I will share my brain spotting journey with you guys, because I'm definitely going to try it. And I'm actually going to tackle a couple of other things that it just made me feel not so necessary that I want to do the EMDR journey, and I would rather try the brain spotting journey. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, yeah, we are very thankful that Brooke came back to join us for another episode. Real quick, before we jump into our conversation with her, I want to remind you that we have an email that goes out a couple times a season to our subscribers. You get bonus material. We have some stuff coming up that you will know about before anyone else if you subscribe to our emails. So you can go to notterrible.com and choose the email subscription button. Just know that a lot of emails are going to spam.
Spam.
Yeah, so check your spam box. If you have signed up, go to spam. Search Not Terrible. You'll find it. They're coming.
Unspam us.
Yeah. Mark it not spam or whatever that little button is so that you get those. and if you haven't signed up, do that now. If you signed up within 24 hours, you get 4 bonus episodes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's talk to Brooke.
Welcome to Not Terrible with your hosts, Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Jess is a part-time vegan yogi. You can find her on her motorcycle, usually heading to therapy. Mary is a writer and Jesus follower. She loves camping almost as much as cheeseburgers. The Not Terrible podcast is two childhood friends who have been through the ringer, learned some tough lessons, and kept going. Jess and Mary share stories, advice, and lessons on each episode. They try to find humor in the chaos and learn from their mistakes in an attempt to feel less alone as they navigate life's journey.
Hey guys, we're here with Brooke Randolph, a returning guest. You probably remember her from episode 35, Tips on Therapy from a Therapist, a real life therapist, not just Mary and I talking like we do.
Pretending
like we know. We have a professional in here, and today we teased this on that episode 35. We were going to talk about brain spotting. Mary and I are just brand new baby students to this, so we can't wait to learn all about it and you share. How are you, Brooke?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
You're like a podcast professional now, so.
Yes.
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure.
All right, so we're talking about brain spotting today, and pretend that someone for the very first time is hearing that word, what would you tell them? What is brain spotting in a very basic level?
Well, so the most basic level, I would say, it is a physiological approach with psychological consequences.
But what if you don't know what any of those words mean?
And so the next, I would say that we focus the midbrain and bring the midbrain and allow it to lead the processing.
Okay.
Or how I tell kiddos is that your brain has the same mutant superpower as Wolverine. We just have to turn it on, and your brain can heal itself.
So what are the benefits that the midbrain possesses that can help you heal better? Let's start there.
So the midbrain is where your memory and emotion are stored.
Okay.
It is also the first place that 80% of your sensory information goes.
Okay.
So it's going there before it goes up to the neocortex, which means if there's anything that signals danger or what might look like danger based on your past experiences, you will respond before your neocortex or your thinking brain even gets the message.
Right. So you are responding to something based on memory or past trauma. And so in order to not do that in every situation, you have to heal that middle brain first.
Right.
Okay. Mary's.
What if you still don't understand what's going on? No, just kidding. So is this, when we say healing, is this something that is just used for trauma healing? So like big life changing or impactful moments, that's what the training and the healing is, or the healing is for.
Yep. So it's not just used for trauma.
Okay.
In fact, we use it for a lot of things. Brain spotting was intended to be an integrative approach. And so therapists who are excellent at addictions have learned how to use brain spotting for addictions. And therapists who are excellent with adoption have learned how to use brain spotting with adoption. And then we teach those things. We also use it for performance enhancement. It was actually originally discovered in performance enhancement and with trauma. But so a lot of athletes and Olympic athletes are using brain spotting. CEOs come regularly, or wow, all C-level suite kind of professionals, mm-hmm, to continue working through all those little bumps so we can perform at our best.
Wow.
I'm thinking through that.
Yeah, it almost feels like preventative medicine at that point when you're using it. It's just to stay on your A game, and so that when stressors or the things that happen in regular life, like you said, just professional life, daily life, it sounds like you're just staying ahead of the game.
Right.
Yeah.
It may not be something that you're falling apart on, but if you're noticing a reaction,
right,
it may be something to work through.
So if I was to call a counselor, would I just be going to my regular counselor, and they would integrate into moments of my hour brain spotting, or I would go and have a brain spotting appointment?
It's usually more a brain spotting appointment. However, it's a very flexible approach. And yeah, so there are things that I sometimes work in with clients, especially warming them into the idea.
Okay.
So if you came for your first brain spotting appointment, what would a rough outline of that look like?
It depends on the person, mm-hmm, always. If we were going to do very standard, then we'd kind of talk about, okay, what do you want to work on? Mm-hmm. Get some ideas of what that is, what the emotion you feel, where you feel that in your body. Mm-hmm. We would probably put some headphones on to get some bilateral music stimulating. And then we would look for the fixed eye position where you have the most access to those feelings. And then from that point, allow the brain to bring up what it needs to bring up.
Okay. So the fixed eye position, mm-hmm, let's start there. Is that... what does that tell you?
Are you looking deep into my eyes?
Yeah.
Because that's awkward.
Not usually.
Okay, okay.
That has happened a couple of times. But that's what the clients request.
Okay. Right?
They're like, this is the position, and I would really like your face there.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow, okay.
Awkward, but fine.
Yeah.
But often, so there's three different ways we do it. We, mm-hmm, call it inside window, outside window, and gaze spotting. I'm going to go kind of backwards. So gaze spotting is something that we all naturally do. If you ever find yourself just simply staring at some spot,
sure,
especially as you're thinking about something heavy or emotional or just trying to think really deeply, you find yourself just kind of gazing at that spot.
Okay.
And so we utilize that by just encouraging to hold that position. Mm-hmm. In outside window brain spotting, we will usually use like a pointer, but tracking, and the therapist is looking for reflexes in the client.
Okay.
Eye anomalies. Sometimes I've even had people nod and they don't even know that they do it, right? Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of reflexes we see.
Okay.
And then in inside window brain spotting, we're kind of doing the same tracking, but the client is saying, oh, I feel it there. So it's the point where they have the most felt access.
Okay.
Hmm. I've noticed just when, so I had my therapy appointment. I go once a month. I went last week, and I noticed when I was talking to my therapist about something really hard, I would kind of look off to the side, and I was aware that like I couldn't even look her in the eye when I was saying something. And it wasn't like shame. I wasn't saying something that was embarrassing or anything, but then I was almost like couldn't focus on her face because then I couldn't think what I was mm-hmm. trying to think. Mm-hmm. So
I encourage you to just do that.
I felt like, oh, I'm being rude because yeah, I'm not right. making eye contact.
I'm very much educating people all the time. You don't have to make eye contact with me. I would rather you stared at where you wanted to stare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I, at one point, was seeing a non-brain spotting therapist, and I just told her, I'm just going to stare here when I need to stare here.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew me well enough to just, and what is she going to do? Tell me not to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Try that.
And is this, and this practice with the looking with your eyes, like, is that just to get you in a place of comfort?
Sometimes it's comfort. Sometimes it is activating.
Okay.
Right. Sometimes you're, oh, I really have access to that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps kind of speed up the process.
Gotcha.
Right. But with the fixed eye position, the theory is that it's kind of focusing on a single neural pathway,
mm-hmm.
and while what comes up for us may feel like a jumbled knot, it's really kind of untangling that ball of yarn
wow.
as we do it. And so you may not recognize why you're jumping from thing to thing, but in the end, the activation is much lower, if not gone.
Wow.
It's funny because after I left Lisa's office last week, I thought through, like, mm-hmm. is something wrong with me? Why can't I look her in the eye when I'm trying, like when we're talking about, and it's not even certain things. It's just like when at certain points when we're talking,
mm-hmm.
And I kind of process through just that it's, I don't have, my brain wants to focus so much on what I'm talking about or feeling or thinking that I can't see her face because it takes away from what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of felt.
You have to get out what you're saying and not respond to her reaction. I mean, it's not like she's going to go, oh, my gosh. Yeah, shit. She's not like that. But I know that there's, like, I had an opposite experience in telling her some really hard things that I had been hiding from her. And I covered my face and mm-hmm. sobbed. And she referenced it later. She said, you carried so much shame with this that you couldn't even look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, and you knew you were in a very, very safe place, but you yeah. couldn't even look at me. She mm-hmm. was like, so let's start addressing that next.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But sometimes that's what you have to do
right.
for the first time.
Right.
I've had a couple of clients with these big things. Okay. You look out that window, I'll look out this one.
Yeah.
Right. Like they don't want me to look at them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't even think of
that. That also makes sense. Like, you know, when you're on a road trip and you always have, like, deep conversations when you're both staring out at the window.
That's true.
But if I'm sitting across from you at yeah. a restaurant, we're not going to have a really deep mm-hmm. conversation. We're going to, you know, talk about our week. But,
wow.
like, those big moments mm-hmm. sometimes happen when you're not really seeing someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That face-to-face can be a little intimidating. That's why we really encourage parents, if you've got something you think your kid needs to talk about, take a drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
That's interesting because my teenage son, that's when he talks the most,
mm-hmm.
is when we're in the car. Like, we just, his dad and I both will be like, we were in the car. I know, I was in the car too. And he said, and we're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this is where we get the most information. We really need to drive around more with him.
We should live in our car.
Yeah.
But it feels less scary mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. I don't have to see I know you're there, but I don't have to like look directly at your face.
I think with the car thing too, you know, there's a time frame. This is going to be over when we reach the destination, and I think that that removes
or we run out of gas.
That's true. So I think that would remove a little bit. Like, okay, we're on our we're leaving practice. I've got 10 minutes to say this, and then we'll be out of the car. So maybe that's what it is, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, we kind of got off track there. So, what did you say last? About when you come to an appointment, so we're going to...
How do you know, like... Sorry, I got it.
No, go ahead.
When the three... What'd you call them? Windows?
Yeah. They're technically the three legs of brain spotting.
Well, that's what I meant to say.
The
three legs.
People trained need to know that.
Well, that's... I'm trained. The three legs of brain spotting. What is the... Like, when it's inside, what does it feel like inside me?
Yeah.
And when you're like... A client would tell me, oh, I felt that. What do you mean?
Oh, it's like a zap. I would encourage everyone to do a little experiment. No, I don't think it's a zap. I've never felt a zap, but maybe someone's going to call in or write you guys and tell them that they have.
Hopefully.
So, in kind of an intro that I do in telling people what this is, we sometimes, do a little example. So if you think about something that's upset you in the last week and you can really get an picture of that moment in your head and focus in on what that felt like in your body. You know, maybe somebody cut you off in traffic and your stomach dropped, or what does that feel like physically? Now take a moment and just scan the wall left to right and then maybe up and down, and notice if where you look affects how you feel. And some people are really good at that, and some don't, and that's why we have the outside window also.
Wow.
Okay, so I just did it, and when I looked left, I felt the feeling. Tell me what's wrong with my life right now.
What's in the brain is in the body. What's in the body is in the brain, and so we just need to process this through.
When I looked up, I felt relief. Like I didn't,
So the opposite of whatever the bad feeling was.
Yeah.
So we'd call that a resource spot.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like a place to go when things feel scary.
Yeah. And so if you start processing it on an activation spot and it gets really intense, you can switch over to the resource spot. Or if you, sometimes we just process from the resource spot until we can take out enough of it that it feels safe enough to process from the activation spot.
So in this first appointment, we're figuring these things out so that when we start using these resources through therapy or as an addition to therapy, that we know what to do. You're saying a lot of things that remind me of...
EMDR.
Yeah, EMDR, like having a place and,
So two things on that. One is that your spot may be different every time.
Oh, okay.
So you're not finding a single spot.
Yeah.
And it sounds like EMDR because EMDR was one of the original influences that it grew out of.
Okay. Yeah. So do you do the same intake evaluation that they do in EMDR?
No.
No.
In fact, one of the reasons people like brain spotting is you don't have to talk at all.
Oh, okay.
So I'm the therapist you don't have to talk to.
Oh.
And it still works. Okay. So I don't have to know what's happening to be able to be there with you and be attuned to you neurobiologically and be attuned to you relationally. I don't have to know the things in your head. And sometimes people want to talk. Sometimes people don't want to talk. I find personally, and I see this, I usually encourage this in adults, that if you're not talking, but you feel like you get kind of like you're stuck, the same thing just keeps coming, to say it out loud and it just... Then you start moving to the next thing.
Okay.
So are you talking the whole time, though?
As the therapist?
Yeah.
No. Depending on the person, I will talk some. And then how much that is depending on the person and what's happening. And how their process is going. But, no, the more I speak, the more I'm moving you back into the neocortex.
Because we're thinking about what you're saying.
Yeah, so there are some EEG studies that are being written up right now that says, like, the more the therapists talk, the, well, let's say it the other way. The less the therapist talks, the deeper the processing is.
Okay.
So we are very aware of speaking, like, with a point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Only if it's going to be helpful. And sometimes I throw it out there thinking this might be helpful, and if it lands poorly, it's gone. Right. I don't need to. I have no ownership over it because it's your process. One of the things I really love about brain spotting is we talk about a comet, and the client is the head of the comet and the therapist is in the tail. We're always following where the client is going, that we really trust your brain and your system to know what is best for you. And so it's your process, and I'm here to follow and support, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't have to know what's coming. I don't have to sit here and think about questions to ask. I don't have to make assumptions, because it doesn't matter what I think. Ultimately, it's mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. So I may have guesses along the way, and maybe we talk about those at the end, but it's very fun to see, like, I had this guess, and then you ended up in this place.
Right. Okay, so we're in there. We have our three legs. You have music on, you said, correct?
Usually. Okay.
So how is this guided? Like, what? So what's, they're just there, the music is on and they're thinking and...
Yeah, that's what I think.
I feel like I was thinking,
like, how do you know something, like, at the beginning to the end? Is it all self-monitoring? So I know when I'm healed and you have no idea, or if it worked, or there's checks mm-hmm. so that, like, we all start at the same spot. And so that there's like a checks and balances of saying, like, yes, we made progress, or I feel differently because of this. But if I don't say it out loud, how do you know?
Well, I'll give you a couple of examples. So the hard example, right, is like the teenager who comes in and doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing reflexes all over this child, right? I know something's happening. I can often have a really good guess. There was one kid who came in and was real deep in the process. And at the end, I said, you know, about 10 minutes ago, you looked like Creed, right? Because he's a kid and he'd get the movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, were you feeling this? And he's like, yep, right? Like, I could just see, like, his whole facial structure almost changed. Mm-hmm. And then it went back. But for in that moment, I was like, oh, you feel this thing, don't you? And that was able to kind of be a summary for him, right?
Wow.
But what I'm seeing on these kids, there's reflexes, things like that. And I can know, like, there's usually a wave and it's getting really intense. And then there's often a big sigh or something that tells me, like, okay, we're kind of letting go of something here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll use an example of myself. In one of my more recent sessions, you know, you start from this thing and you start going to this and then this and then this and then this. And, like, you just start to know that you're coming to higher understandings, mm-hmm. right? And could I have probably gone for another hour and gotten more? Yes. But that my appointment time was enough to get a lot done. And often I see that people can get, like, 3 months of therapy done in an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's, like, the conclusions they're able to come to that they wouldn't have gotten just talking, right? It's really amazing.
I've always believed that, like, what you put into your body and what you expose yourself to has a lot to do with your healing process and your time, like food, vitamins, screen time. I mean,
books,
the nature
drinks,
of the books,
yeah,
anything mm-hmm. that it does. Do you find that that would affect too the therapy that you're doing?
Well, yes, because it's impacting your whole system.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a clear. In fact, there's some brain spotters who talk about that it's client came in drunk. We did it anyway. They got this done.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So, like, dulling the pain while doing the work.
Yeah. That it's not necessarily
That's wild.
A bad thing. That they were able to get.
They were probably
some stuff
looser.
Done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not my area of expertise, so I'm not trying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I don't think I've ever had a client come in drunk.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
See, that feels so counterproductive.
Right?
Like, there's lots of red flags going up right now.
Right, there are. And, like, old school therapy thought. They're like, whoa, never.
Never,
right?
Yeah.
And so we have to, so that's not the stuff like we try to tell people what to do in the first session.
Right.
But as you explore, we see that these experienced therapists have experimented, right? And not experimented on, but said, okay, let's try this. What's happening for you, right? That's kind of how I approach it with a lot of clients. Well, let's try something. Tell me how this feels to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like a client who felt like she was completely cut off from her emotions for, and this wasn't normal for her, but she just felt completely cut off and like this is going to cause problems in my relationships.
Right.
And I said, well, why don't we just try putting these headphones on and see what happens? That's supposed to help access where memory and emotion are stored. So let's see if any emotion comes up. In less than 2 minutes, she was crying. She didn't know why she was crying, but she was crying. And so we started the process. And then most of the rest of her process that day was physical. But it did kind of break that for her, and she was able to get back to feeling.
So the music, that's
what is this music?
Yeah, what is this music? is it very specific? Is it?
It is. So in EMDR, they talk about bilateral stimulation, and they do that in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So in brain spotting, we're going to talk about bilateral music.
Okay.
And the difference is the music is, it's not going to just go one, 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 back and forth, left, right, left, right. But it's arranged in a way that kind of rocks you from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of rocks you into the midbrain. Mm-hmm. So it's a little smoother. It's not so jarring on the brain. And it's less predictable so that
you don't have to think about it.
Right. But we keep it really low, or we encourage keeping it really low. So you're not necessarily thinking about it.
Right.
It's really background noise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because all we need is for it to stimulate the tympanic nerve. We don't need you to listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the tympanic nerve do?
Well, it's going to go into that midbrain.
Oh, okay.
So it's the nerve in your ear that's going to go.
Gotcha.
In, yeah.
All right.
So
that's
is this music I could just like Google?
So you can.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can look up brain spotting. There's lots of different people have. The originator, David Grand, has a lot of CDs out. Those are the ones I use most, but there's other ones that are out there. And it's on Amazon. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. And you can get it, and you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to it while you drive. That's not a really safe option.
Really?
Because it may bring up some memories.
Yeah.
Or it may lull you. Right, so that's the big warning. Usually we don't encourage people to use it until you've tried it out with your therapist,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know how it's going to impact you. For most people, it's calming. Mm-hmm. For most people, it's soothing and relaxing. But for some people, it's going to be activating and may bring up memories. And so if there's traumatic things, then you may want to be careful with it. But it's there.
Wow. I've used binaural beats.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've done that. Like there's something different for everybody to fall asleep, to concentrate. There's one that my son listens to before football games, like to get him hyped and energized and ready. Mm. There's baby versions that I played for my niece who wouldn't stop crying on a 16-hour drive to Florida.
No.
Just on a loop until she stopped. And it took, but we listened, and then I was just like, this isn't safe for me to listen to while I'm driving. No, but we've always used that, and I was introduced to that through yoga training.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, very cool.
And I use it when I can't sleep.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I'll put it on. And sometimes that helps.
Hmm.
Right. Again, move you out of your neocortex. If you're awake thinking about things, that's a good way.
Wow.
I had a friend email after the last time you were here when we talked about just therapy tips. And we talked a little bit about your EMDR training or therapy. And then you hinted at brain spotting. And he is a chaplain at a police department in New Orleans. Him and his family went down after Katrina, and they rebuilding, and they stayed there. And he did a presentation for the police department on EMDR training, or not the training, but like the idea of like, because yes. those first responders are just like overwhelmed with mm-hmm. trauma every day. Mm-hmm. Is there work being done for brain spotting, like in the first responder field, where people mm-hmm. are saying like, hey, we need like to keep our, you know, police and ambulance people safe? Are we and healthy? Are we doing that in like other areas besides just like me searching out a counselor and doing it?
Yeah. There are, Midwest Brain Spotting Institute. I think that's one of the, specific targets that they do their fundraising for.
Oh, wow.
To, provide kind of scholarships
mm-hmm.
for first responders. And there are different institutes around the country, that do kind of fundraising and scholarships for different things. And, we even our initial like brain spotting indie group, some of them hadn't heard of Given Hour, but then they joined it once they realized that this was a way that you can list yourself as someone who is willing to give an hour of therapy a week pro bono to, generally that's military, although they've expanded that now.
Okay.
And it's not just military.
Wow.
But that's where Given Hour started.
Is Given Hour just like an Indianapolis thing, or is that like nationwide?
Nationwide.
People can look into that as like mm-hmm. if they have had a job that is high trauma.
Yeah.
Military and first responders.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Sorry, I don't have anything right now. I was just thinking about that. That's, I mean, I'm sad that I didn't know about it. I mean, I know it doesn't apply to me, but wow. Do you guys do that through the VA?
No. Mm. I don't believe the VA's doing that.
So good luck with that.
Mm. Yeah, they're still promoting exposure therapy in treating trauma, which
I find military a little
questionable. I mean, they've done it a lot, and so they have cases where it's worked, and I know some of those people who've made progress that way, but it just seems slow and really painful to do exposure therapy, right?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Where brain spotting is going to be much more efficient, and we have it's such a flexible approach that I can lessen the intensity in the moment. You never have to get overwhelmed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, just like a safer for people that have felt very unsafe. Mm-hmm. In situations that have, in some ways, ruined parts of them. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I initially was drawn to brain spotting, you know, looking at brain spotting and EMDR. Mm-hmm. You know, there because EMDR was first, there's a lot more research about it,
sure.
And we know that it works. And when brain spotting comes out and has this more flexible approach and allows us to prevent people from being overwhelmed, which was one of my concerns working with adoptees, especially international adoptees who, if they make this transition as a very young child, that's extremely overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so their systems have already been overwhelmed with so much.
Mm-hmm.
This just felt like a much safer approach.
Wow.
And I really like how that Comet model, that we can really trust them, because adoptees, a lot of people have made a lot of decisions for their lives,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and still are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, adult adoptees don't have access to their original birth certificate,
right?
And they're treated like perpetual children. So here's a way where I can say, you do know what's best for you,
right?
And I'm going to follow you.
Hmm.
I think that you would have to be really brave to venture on brain spotting, because I know a lot of people that go to therapy and their intention is to have someone tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's never how therapy works, but I mean, I know that, and I didn't go in with that, because I've learned that regardless of my childhood or past relationships, that chances are almost always, I know the answer. I knew the answer. I just needed to talk it out with someone,
mm-hmm.
and to let you trust yourself again. It sounds mm-hmm. like brain spotting could really, really, I mean, you have to be brave to step in there and go, I'm taking control of this and I'm going to do the work, and, you know, feeling like you have, you know, a fan base, which is your therapist behind you going, hey, you can do this, and mm-hmm. we're going to get through this together.
Well, and you're also letting your brain lead the way. So yeah. you don't have to do the work. You don't have to know the way.
Right.
You just notice what's happening
mm-hmm.
and let your brain heal itself.
What a... to me, it sounds like a form of meditation.
If you are good at meditation, that assists
yeah,
you.
Right.
But it's not necessary.
Right, yeah. Because I know that in meditation even has these addictive qualities where you get, like, you're in a deep meditation and you reach that spot and you're like, oh my gosh. But the moment that you realize you're there, you're not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of meditate to seek that place again. Like, I want to reach that euphoria. I want to feel peace. And so you do it over and over and over again. And it feels like this is a very, just a much more professional way to get there, a more efficient way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to, with meditation, you know, you may be focusing on a single thing and trying to stay focused on that.
Right.
Whereas with this, you just notice what's coming up.
Right.
And some people have flashes of memory, almost like flip cards mm-hmm. coming up really fast. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, oh, there's, you know, it's a slower process. Some people are just noticing emotion and they don't necessarily have memories or thoughts tied to that. And then some people have a complete physical experience and there's no emotion necessarily. There's no memory necessarily. They're just noticing what's happening physically mm-hmm. and it still processes things out for them. Hmm. So my favorite story on that is a little guy with trichotillomania, which means he's pulling his hair out, mm-hmm. right? It's a compulsive. And he was really embarrassed about it, and so he was really motivated, and he just was like, no, let's just do it. And so we got started and he just felt itching, and this is a little guy, and so I wasn't sure, right? And I was like, is it okay to sit with that? Is it okay to just notice it? And he kept at it for maybe 40 minutes with the itching moving around his body, changing in intensity, and then it was gone. And wow. he just stopped and looked at me and said, I don't want to touch my head anymore. And then never came back. Like, I asked wow. them to schedule a follow-up just to see where we were, squeeze out anything else that was left. And they were like, he's fine. And they didn't come back.
What?
Yeah. That's one of those.
That's wild.
You know, commercial stories.
Right. Like, this is why I do what I do type. Wow.
Can you do that with... This is such a horrible... Oh, geez. Can you do that with people that, like, have addictions to, like, food or, like, other addictions? Like, is that, like, a big... Like, could you do that?
Yeah. Roby Abelis in Australia has created what's called the crocodile setup, which is what is primarily used for addictions. And... it's using kind of two spots, the how I feel good when I'm using
mm-hmm.
and the how I feel bad about using,
mm-hmm.
right? And using both of those. And she's had a lot of luck, and she's trained a lot of brain spotters around the world in doing this, and people report great things all the time.
Wow. 'Cause that's like with addiction... not, I mean, drug, alcohol, whatever, like, we know that you skip, like, your brain skips parts of, and goes straight to, like, the pleasure, mm-hmm. and so, like, I don't know what you would do is slow it down, or just, like, pay attention, yeah, I don't know, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Can we come, like, if I wanted to do brain spotting, is once a month, like, could you just do it once a month, or do you do like, all the, yeah?
Yeah, you can do... at whatever kind of frequency that you really want to and mm-hmm. and what makes the most sense for you. You know, some people it's exhausting, some people it's energizing, some people, you know, there was one time I took my kiddo to do brain spotting with another therapist, and like we left that office and I wanted to sit on it. Like it was bouncing. Literally, I was like, honey, mommy has to drive on the interstate. Right.
Calm down.
But, right. I'm really glad you're feeling good, and mommy has to drive on the interstate right now.
Right.
Wow.
when I talked about EMDR for the first time, I had a veteran message me on social media and just say, I've done it and I'm still doing it and I'm 2 years in. Mm. And the first session I came home and I slept for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had that reaction yet. I mean, we did a little baby intro to it with something kind of a small T trauma,
mm-hmm,
that we started with just so I would know how my body was going to react if I could get through it. I had a lot of nerves and hesitation going into it because I was afraid that it was going to bring up all these things that I had been suppressing my entire life and was terrified. I didn't really have an after, like a post reaction to the therapy. So I don't know, but I break it off in very little chunks because I'm just too nervous. Yeah.
And that can be a way, you know, to minimize any impact. We have, you know, you may see an impact after brain spotting because once you've started your brain on the process, your brain's like, oh, okay, now we get to do this.
Right.
And so after the first session, I tell people to just pay attention. You might find yourself gaze spotting, mm-hmm, and doing this again.
Mm-hmm.
After the first time I did work on the concussion I experienced after a car accident, right, later that day, more physical symptoms came up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I did experience that after the car accident. Mm-hmm. And I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
Right? And that came up again later after that first session.
Wow.
Now, because I'm trained in brain spotting and I like to go after it,
mm-hmm,
like I put the music on and leaned into the feeling.
Right.
Until I pushed it through. Right. And, you know, again, basically continued my own work there. Mm-hmm. But you can also, you know, just bring yourself out of it. I just tell people, you know, treat yourself like a plant. You're growing. Water, good food, sunlight, rest.
Yeah.
Do the good things that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people find that they sleep really heavy, and some people find they have a lot of dreams, whether they're sleeping heavy or not. And that's okay. Even if you don't normally dream and you have a lot of dreams, it's okay. Just notice what's happening.
This just, it almost sounds too good to be true, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't
believe you at all.
No, that's what it is. No, I just, it's hopeful, but it's also kind of a bummer to think that all of the time and money that people have spent doing other things,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
like, oh my gosh.
And people spend time and money doing the other things because they like those things.
Right.
Even though there is a highly relational component to brain spotting,
mm-hmm,
people like to talk.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I like that at the end of my brain spotting sessions that my therapist is going to, like, give me, like, you know, a 3-sentence coaching,
right,
like, to send me out the door.
Yeah.
But, like, I like that part.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I feel like we covered a lot.
Yeah, so what if someone's listening to this and they're like, you know what, I want to do that. Like, how would someone go about finding a brain spotting therapist? Coach person?
So here in central Indiana, we have Brain Spotting Indy. So brainspottingindy.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we have a listing there and a map of different therapists, and you can contact us to find other people. Brainspotting.com does have a list of therapists, but it doesn't include everyone who's trained. And then there's also regional, like the Midwest Brain Spotting Institute,
mm-hmm,
or the Southeast Brain Spotting Institute. So depending on your area, those are ways you can look and find somebody, hmm, who can do this. And you can do it virtually.
Oh, wow.
The majority of my sessions I do virtually because the concussion specialist doesn't live near me.
Oh, wow.
But that's what she does because she works with high-level athletes.
Oh.
And so.
Is it just like FaceTiming?
Yeah. We use Zoom because it's, you know, have that HIPAA protection stuff.
But. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. Do you have any books or anything that you would recommend for people who kind of just want to dive a little bit deeper into it before they start?
Yeah. David Grand wrote a book called Brain Spotting, and it's short and easy to read. And honestly, reading it was one of the things that made me fall in love with it because he is probably the most self-led person I've ever met. He's so humble and so encouraging, and I've had the opportunity to train with him, and it's just impressive.
Wow.
And so one of the things he wrote in the book is, like, I'm putting this out here as something that's really great and works. And I have no intention of thinking this is the final thing or the answer. Someone's going to find something better, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that, like, humility.
Yeah.
And hopefulness that people that sometimes figure out that is not the most important. Yeah.
Yeah. Another book he helped write was This Is Your Brain on Sports. And so it's talking about brain spotting, but also just how sports and sports trauma impacts. And sometimes that's a good intro, especially for the kids, right? Competitive athletes. And we find that a lot of their little, like, yips or bumps in the road are related to other traumas, whether they're sports traumas or their personal traumas. Mm-hmm. And so we can clear all that out.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being on Not Terrible again.
Happy to be here.
We're going to dream something else up for you to come on next season.
All right.
All right. See you guys next time.
See ya.
You've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Connect with the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Not Terrible Podcast. Visit them at NotTerriblePodcast.com for show notes and additional content. You can sign up for their newsletter to receive bonus episodes and podcast extras. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider. Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and Off the Air Podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studio, this has been a Waco production.